Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Nick Ibarra Podcast. I am Nick Ibarra, your host. The Nick Ibarra Podcast is a podcast where we discuss family, fitness, finance, philosophy, and everything else we can find compelling about life. Hope you enjoy today's episode. Alrighty, guys. I wanted to start off this morning with a little essay I found on the internet. It was actually brought to me by an attorney I work with when I was discussing what we're going to talk about today. And the essay is somewhat satirical, but I think there is a takeaway from it, and that takeaway will involve what it is we're going to discuss today. So the essay is titled, How I Taught the Big Guy a Lesson. So here we go. How I finally taught the big guy a lesson. I did not provoke the fight, so I feel no remorse for what I was forced to do. We were arguing, and since I was right and he was wrong, he decided to fight to cover his stupidity. He swung first at me, but because I was in top physical condition, I was able to act quickly and block the punch neatly with my head. I then jumped to the ground, knocking him down on top of me. I placed my ear in his mouth and poked his finger several times with my eye. His teeth hurt so much from the strength of my ear that he became irate and tried to kick me, but I cleverly blocked the onslaught with my ribs and my face. I scrambled to my feet, and I ran to my car in hopes I would get away and save this man from my deadly hands. But before I could start the car, he pulled me from the still open door. I then proceeded to swing at him, but only managed to hit myself in the head. To this I said, what is this, two against one? That was the final straw. I lost all control. There will be no mercy. Taking him in my death grip, I pounded him in the knee with my stomach. Then I hit him two or three times in the fist with my teeth. He had had it, I could tell. After that, he didn't even try to pick me up off the ground. He was too chicken. Perspective is everything. Ladies and gentlemen, perspective is everything. Perspective, or we can synonymously call it prejudgment, prejudice. They all have. That's what today's episode is about. And perspective, I think, is something that can get us into trouble, or it can be very helpful. They absolutely help us in situations. For instance, an erratic driver is on the road. Our perspective is based on our past experiences, and we know how to react. If they're driving erratically, we want to either take it slow and stay behind them to watch what they're doing, or make the judgment to get ahead of them when we feel we have the opportunity, so that they're behind us and we don't have to worry about them stopping or slowing down or anything like that. Those are the types of prejudgments or experiences that we have in the past that help us with our perspective on how to proceed in current situations. But then there are also the perspectives that we grow and we end up having in life due to other things we experience that cannot be so helpful and in the end actually hurt us. Whether it's experiences that we draw from what we see on TV, or individual experiences that we have with people or types of people in situations, relationships, interactions in society. And when we have a perspective that we base on those experiences without using logic, we can often run into trouble. And what I mean by run into trouble is they destroy our sense of logic, our ability to rationalize things. And in the end, if we behave and we act on those things and we do it continuously, it does destroy our credibility. So I had already planned a show that has nothing to do with today's topic. I did the notes. I reviewed a little research and had everything ready to go. And then some stuff happened this week, and I thought, hell, I absolutely have to put that episode off and discuss what's going on here. So what I want to talk about is actually a specific couple of situations that happened in the media, and the way I try and approach things, and then the way people were approaching things when this was going on, and then lastly, where I see the fault lie in how jumping to conclusions can end up. So last weekend, I believe, it started off on social media, and it made a big enough commotion on social media that it made the local paper. There was a two females, and they had gone to a local city park, and one of the females was a white woman, one of them was a black woman. They went out jogging. When they went out jogging, before they went out jogging, they noticed a guy. I believe they said that he was in a truck, and it was a white guy, and I'm sure that if anybody's been paying attention to anything going on in the news, we're going to be able to quickly identify where this is going. So the two ladies, the black lady and the white lady, they go out on a jog and they come back, and the black lady's car has all four tires popped and fecal matter, poop, on her windshield, smeared across her windshield. And I saw pictures of it, so there's no doubt that it happened. The immediate response by the victim, her friend, and very quickly social media, was that this was absolutely race related. There were a couple things that I thought about before I even made a comment, and I didn't even make a comment publicly. But one of the people that was very vocal about how this had to have been race related was a personal friend of mine, and he's one of those friends that, you know, you meet a few times, but you stay in touch on social media. You see him around on you know, the feeds on social media, and you direct message him now and again. I haven't personally sat down and seen him in face to face in probably 10 or 12 years, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a conversation several times a year on direct message about current events. And one of the reasons why is because we have very different political persuasions. And so it's a good thing in my mind to always be willing to have open lines of communications with those people. They're your friends, but not only that, they can give you a different perspective and maybe help you see some things that that you wouldn't typically see if you didn't have somebody of the opposite persuasion that is going to try and explain it in a rational, logical, and calm capacity. So anyways, the pop tires and the poop on the windshield or on the car, it was absolutely race related, and so I thought to myself a few things. One, there were no epithets. There were no epithets going on with smeared on the windshield with the poop. There were no, they hadn't keyed the car with any sort of racial slogans or statements or anything like that. So the idea was that it was race related because it was a white guy and a black woman, and that was essentially all of the evidence that they had to be able to present to all of social media that this was race related. And you can quickly guess that everything going on with George Floyd, with police brutality, with everything in the media, with the riots, with the protests, with the marches, all that stuff, that people quickly jumped onto it and said, yep, absolutely, race related. So I, going back to the friend I have that was vocal on social media that discussed the fact that this must have been race related, I messaged him and I said, hey man, I said, I'm not saying that it isn't race related, because quite frankly, I have no idea, but what evidence is there that this is race related? And his response was, well, there's not physical evidence, and I'm paraphrasing, but his response was that there's not physical evidence, but it's very clear with everything going on in society today, that there's no other conclusion. So I'm sitting there thinking, you know, once again, I'm going to not pass judgment and say, nope, I don't believe this is race related, or, oh, well, that makes sense, and so this must be race related, because quite frankly, we don't have enough facts yet, and we may never have enough facts, okay? So I said, well, okay, I understand what you're saying, I just don't understand how you can come to that conclusion. So a couple days pass, and then early this week, and very unfortunately, there was more news that came out in the media, and this was a terrible tragedy. But a gentleman went into a police department. I don't know the exact facts, but basically he went into a police department, and it got difficult enough to deal with this guy that they asked him to leave. So he left the building, but when he did, he urinated on the door of the police department, and then he got in his vehicle, and he, I guess he started circling the police department And when a couple of officers went out to talk to him or to stop him, they were on foot while he was driving around the police department parking lot. And when they attempted to stop him, he decided to ram one of the police officers into a concrete post and wedge him between the vehicle and the concrete post. Now, the officer did survive. He's in some very he's not in good condition. I mean, he's probably not going to do another shift of duty again as a police officer, unfortunately. He was a 21-year police veteran of the Springfield Police Department, if I'm not mistaken, and there's been a lot of media coverage with his family, and I've heard a few things through the grapevine, through credible sources, that that he's going to have a long road to recovery, and that he's probably going to have some difficult emotional and psychological times ahead of him, obviously. I can't imagine being in such a traumatic experience, and hope, you know, nobody has to experience something like that in that kind of situation. However, so we have these two situations. One of them is clearly, per the social media pundits, a race-related vandalism, where a white man smears poop and pops tires of a black lady's car while she's out on a run at a park. And then we have this other situation where a white man runs into a concrete post, a white police officer. And so you're saying, well, Nick, what the heck's the correlation? Where do these things connect? Well, contraire. Here we are. This guy who assaulted the police officer gets booked, and his booking photo is put on news outlets, put on social media, and people start coming forward saying, "Hey, that's the guy that we saw at the park smearing poop." Well, they didn't see him smearing poop, but that's the guy we saw at the park during the time that the poop smearing tire popping situation happened. So they question, the police officers question the suspect of the police officer assault, and he admits to it. He absolutely admits to it, guys. And he says, yeah, I did that because I thought it was some guy's car that I was upset with about some other situation that had nothing to do with the lady, the black lady. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. We have spent days and days and days on social media fueling a fire that's already out of control, with riots, with marching, with regards to race relations in the United States of America, because a black man did something, or a white man did something to a black woman's car. And so we automatically draw this conclusion from our perspective, from our prejudgment, from our prejudice, that it must have been race related. And come to find out, this white man not only did this, admitted to doing it, admitted to making a mistake because it was the wrong person's car, and not only did this guy end up running into a concrete post, a police officer, but this guy is also reported to have serious psychological issues, and he's homeless because of these psychological issues. And I'm not saying that is... that in itself is reported, but look here. This guy has some serious issues. He is reported as homeless in at least two sources that I saw. So if I'm mistaken about that, then I'm mistaken about that. But, and he's out there running police officers over and vandalizing cars. Do you know what it wasn't about? Ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't about race. And when the story unfolded and I watched it happen, I said, man, you know, this is one of those perfect instances where it is so black and white that the person who said it was about race can't deny it. They can't twist it. They can't contort it. They can't do anything other than say, I was wrong. So, what did I do? Kindly wrote my friend on social media, and I said, hey man, I want you to read this article, and I want you to tell me what you think. And him, though being the opposite political persuasion, and though having drawn his own conclusion, was man enough and responsible enough to say, hey, man, I was wrong. I was 100% wrong, and there's nothing else I can say. Besides, I drew a conclusion that did not exist. But see, here's the thing. We often draw conclusions that don't have any evidence, that is not based in facts, that's not based in logic. It's based on emotion. And when we do that, we set ourselves up for failure time and time and time and time again. And we as a society are better than that. I mean, hell, we get a free education up to graduating high school. There are endless opportunities on the internet to learn. And all of that, you know, if you're a veteran, you can essentially take 2 years of college for free, and the other 2 years is partially paid for. I mean, I'll be open with you. I went to a 2-year community college, didn't pay a dime because of the GI Bill. Went to the second 2 years at a private university, and the GI Bill paid for enough that I walked away from 2 years of top-notch education with less than $10,000 in debt for my student loans. Okay. So then we have Pell Grants. We have all these different things. And I'm not saying that high school or college is the answer, because you know what? We have YouTube. We have libraries where everything's free at a library. I mean, well, it's tax dollars pay for it, but to the end user, it's free at the time that they use it. Okay. We have the internet. I said YouTube, but we have Google. We have endless opportunities to increase our ways of critical thinking. We have endless opportunities to better educate ourselves, to become more valuable members of society. And the way we don't become valuable members of society is letting all those resources go to waste. The way we don't become valuable members of society is by allowing our emotions to dictate our actions without waiting to get the facts in situations. And it doesn't have to be about this. It can be about the gossip at work. It can be about something going on in the home. It can be about anything that involves life, that involves critical thinking. Is that when we take situations in and we don't wait to get all of the facts and wait to pass judgment, what are we doing? We're being prejudiced. And I mean that term in the most definitive way possible. We are prejudging a situation, and we're doing so without the facts and the forethought, the time we need to take to really think things through and say, if this, then this, but this, for this. You know, just basic things that allow us to come to rational conclusions that won't get us caught up in looking foolish. Stop using your emotions. Stop using your desires for outcomes and your predispositions because of other events going on around the world to dictate what you want to happen in a situation, whether or not it's true. I want to leave with one of my favorite quotes. And it's a quote by a founding father, John Adams, our second president. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for the guy. I'm fascinated with, and I love the founding area of our country. You know, the struggle that Jefferson went through with regards to the topic of slavery, the idea that George Washington was a general, and yet he had this complete alliance to a group of ragtag guys that could absolutely not see in the future the victory that they were going to achieve. But he inspired them, he motivated them, and he led them in a capacity that we fought off the greatest military that was known to man at that time. You know, we have Sam Adams, he's the leader of the Sons of Liberty, a rabble-rouser for sure, honorary SOB, but at the same time, he was necessary in that era, for the fact that I believe that we always need those rabble-rousers to ignite the passion of men once they've made a decision to take action. But John Adams, I think one of the greatest things I admire about him is, for those of you who are not super familiar with that area, he was an attorney, and he ended up being our second president. But one of the things that that I have the utmost admiration for him about is the fact that whenever the British fired on the colonists, in the event that initially was one of the primers for the Revolutionary War, it was the kind of the icing on the cake, if you will. He, against the wishes of a lot of people and in a very unpopular move, he defended the British soldiers during their trial. And I think that a lot of people don't understand the severity of that, or the importance of that, or the magnitude of that, because they say, well, you know, yeah, they should have had an attorney, or whatever they want to say. But you think about it, who the people who are going to defend the officer who has been charged with the murder of George Floyd, he is not going to be a popular attorney for a very long time, I would assume. The attorney that defended serial killers, or the attorney that defended child molesters, those are huge decisions for attorneys to make, unless they're state attorneys and they're just told this is what the hell you're going to do. But John Adams defended these British soldiers in a trial that they were defending themselves for firing on a crowd of people that were unarmed. And, you know, regardless of the outcome, he took a magnificent step in the concept that was part of our founding era. And he was just a magnificent man. Anyways, with regards to what's going on in society, whether it's the political race between Trump and Biden, whether it's coronavirus, whether it's George Floyd, whatever the issue is, facts are the most important things we can use to draw our conclusions. And if the facts aren't there, the facts aren't there. And it doesn't mean we have to have the opposite conclusion. It just means that our conclusion is not the conclusion that's realistic, that's logical. And so I'll leave you with Adams' quote, John Adams' quote: facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclinations, or the dictates of our passions, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. Live life looking at the facts. Improve your critical thinking. And become a better member of society, because we need them, especially right now. We absolutely need them. So when you post on social media, make sure that your posts are ones that are based in facts, that are thought out, because you can't undo them. You can delete them, but I guarantee you that screenshots are a pretty easy thing to keep in somebody's phone if they want to. People don't forget. People have memories. And so when you say things, you can go back and delete posts. You can go back and undo things or alter it. But the reality is that your words will stay in the minds of people much longer than they stay on an edited or deleted post. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, and if you enjoy the podcast, please leave me a review, follow. And if you're not aware, this podcast is available on iTunes, on Stitcher, and also on Spotify and a few other places. So, you guys have a good week. Hope you enjoy the weather. If it's nice where you're at, it's sure warming up here in Missouri. Take care.